You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. Brothers Nicholas and Mattis Opperman are the duo behind Carl Friedrich. Their leather goods business launched back in 2012. The name is a clever reference to their grandfather translated to Swedish and German, which celebrates their heritage. Launched originally as Opperman London, the company focused on wholesaling classic leather bags made in Asia. Not satisfied with the business model and looking for even better quality, Mattis and Nicholas rebranded the company as Carl Friedrich and focused on direct-to-consumer. Today, they produce bags, wallets, and cases, mostly in Italy, all naturally tanned leather using sustainable production methods. Mattis, with a background in industrial design, today oversees production and product improvement, while Nicholas, with a background in business, handles marketing and growing the brand. Here's Nicholas, followed by Mattis, with the story of Carl Friedrich and their restless pursuit of making top-quality goods.
Apart from Mattis' design background, we didn't have any past experience in actually making products in terms of like finding suppliers and producing them or launching a company or marketing. So we basically started with what we wanted to do, and then we figure out one piece after another. So then you figure out who are factories, where are factories that you can work with, how do you launch a brand, and then basically you start doing that.
So our first vision was basically to have a laptop sleeve or a laptop cover, and everything we found was very like not natural in the design. It was not the colors and the materials were not natural. So then the first idea was pretty much to just go back to basics and like remove all the logos from the products, remove all the grain sort of structure, and many of the grains on the leather goods then and now were very like synthetic made, or it looked very synthetic. So then we just made a laptop cover with basically the standard colors like black, cognac, chocolate, completely free of logos and any patterns and things like that. It was the laptop sleeve and then a few card holders. And then very quickly we went into like a handleless briefcase, so to speak, like a portfolio. And then from there on we expanded to more products. But yeah, the original was just maybe 3-4 products.
For us, the sustainability and starting out, it kind of went, I would say, more as a journey for us in one way. So we started out with a vision for a certain set of products, and we started making them. And during sort of making the first production, the second, and developing more products, we realized that there are a few things that are wrong or that could be done a lot better in the industry and in sustainability. Or for us, almost more important is transparency. So when we started out doing this, we basically realized, okay, in fashion and in luxury fashion, basically what it says on the logo, like, you know, it says made in Italy, made in France, we basically realized that that is true to maybe the last few stitches. And apart from that, you don't know much about when you buy a product, you maybe know that it's leather, but you don't know where the leather is from. And that's sort of something we realized, and we wanted to bring that forward. So we basically now tell that to our customers on our site, where you can see where does the leather come from, who made that leather, where is it assembled, in what part of Italy. And then we also try to use so basically as sustainable or natural materials as possible. And that's sort of our way. So like in one way, we present what we do to the customer, and by holding ourselves accountable for it, we of course want to make things as sustainable as possible. And this is the sort of framework that holds it all together.
So most of our full leather products that are made entirely out of leather are all made in Italy. We produce them in both Florence and Naples. And then we have some production of our nylon and leather backpacks in Portugal. And then we produce our iPhone cases in Romania. And basically what we do slightly different than many other companies is that we go to, like as Nicholas said, also with suppliers of the components. So we go, for example, for all the leather, we go to like around all the leather suppliers, we go to the zipper manufacturers and buttons and so on. And then we can really choose the best ones in each basically area. And then we make sure that that's all shipped to the manufacturers. And how many other brands do is to let that stage be done by the factory. And there are a couple of disadvantages with that, that they probably would choose what is the cheapest or where they already have their connections with and so on. So there we are very much in control that we get exactly what we want and that the quality is good. And if, for example, a quality would not be good of a certain item, then we can easily switch that out to another supplier. We don't work with any fashion season, so we have like a couple of core styles that we produce continuously and try to improve with basically every production that we do. And since we don't have any retailers basically to work with, we don't have like very large productions 2-3 times a year. So we run almost every week, we have something coming in. And then we have a lot of opportunities to basically fine tune those products and change something if needed. And also to ensure basically that if you would see one product, for example, that we did 2 years ago, if you would see that today, there are so many changes that happen like in the smallest details. And I think that's a great advantage to have. If you're doing a product that's supposed to last for rather 10, 20 years rather than a couple of fashion seasons, it's very hard to do a new style, make sure that it's right, and then do a next style next season, because it takes a couple of years just to understand where the weak points are of the products and where you need to reinforce, for example, and so on.
We started out as a traditional designer brand. Our first objective was, okay, now we have the products, now we have the brand, let's go to stores and let's sell the product. And that is sort of part of what we realized, not only with the sort of the sustainability and transparency, but also in terms of the whole business model, that we were sort of chasing better quality, better components, better partners to make the products. And then while chasing that, we also, you know, we saw that in the traditional model, whatever you put in, if you put a pound in, you basically have to put 6 to 10 pounds to the customer. And for us, that would have become a bag of 1,500 to 2,000 pounds if we were to go that path. So at the same time as we sort of learned about the industry, we also realized there is a better way to sell things and to be direct with customers. So I think it was in 2014 where we basically went to change our business model to be direct to consumer, and we sort of said bye to our wholesale accounts and focused only on the customer. Online will be, for the very, very long foreseeable future, be the key part, I think, of the company. We are probably doing something offline, either in an event basis or pop-up basis this year. There are always advantages with doing each, but I guess the biggest thing with online is that if we were to try to open stores to match the online, it's going to be a lot of stores and it's going to be very costly. But yeah, so like online is first, but there is a lot of interesting aspects, both in just getting to know customers, but also there's many customers who still tell us, maybe a little bit of the older generation, who tell us, I would never buy online. And our challenge is to make that easier and better. But you still have people who wants to see it, and still the leather is quite a tactile thing. So it smells nice, it feels nice. So you often want to try to show that in real life when you can. On one hand, it is doing pop-ups and events. And when I basically am in a store and sell, I do hear customers say, I've followed you for 3 years and I would have never bought, but now you're here, I'm great, so now I'm here to buy a bag. So that is definitely part of that.
We have a quite narrow range in one way, because we really try to make the products that we do to make sure that they really like have a purpose for the customer, and also that they are as good as possible. So rather than to just bring out 10 new products, we don't stress with bringing out new products, we rather improve what we have. But then in terms of what's next, we take a look at our range and basically look at, okay, what sort of type of products are missing. And that we basically do by just looking at the range, but also like a lot of customer feedback. We're trying to figure out, just by asking them, what would you like to see us do next? But also like, what compromises, for example, did they do when they bought from us? What pockets are they not using, and so on? So then in terms of what we're actually going to do is looking for the very next launch would be like a messenger bag, which is look similar to our bags, but be a more sort of structured and elegant messenger bag. And we think if you Google images of leather messenger bags, they're pretty ugly. So that's basically a problem that we want to solve.
basically it is about doing what works in terms of, like, I mean, if you're speaking about, for example, marketing, it is basically looking at what is working well, how can we do more of that, and basically it often comes down to, on one hand, testing a lot of different things. So it can be, like, you know, different pop-ups, it can be advertising on different channels, it can be doing a podcast, and it's basically is testing things, and then when something works, you do as much as you can of that. I guess in sort of some concrete things in terms of, I guess, stages is we are expanding the collection on the men's side. There might be another category or two involved. We have our women's range, which is two bags at the moment. There we basically are still figuring out who our customer really is there before we're going to do more on that, but there's probably going to happen something on that side. And then there is a lot on the international side as well, in that we are a UK-based company where we sell all over the world. But right now, for example, it might seem small, but right now you cannot only pay in pounds and everything is shipped from the UK. So there is things like maybe doing something more local in German. It can be sort of the site language. It can be doing local marketing activities, local events. So there's probably going to be something more, things that are specific for certain countries.
Thanks very much to Nicholas and Mattis Opperman for coming in to share the story of Carl Friedrich. The show was edited and mixed by Alex Port Felix. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.